Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome back to an adventure in history. We are once again live on tape.
You know, I've had
in the basement.
I've had more people comment that we're so glad Alana's back.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And I get a little insulted.
I took a little hiatus, just a little bit, and I kept telling Mac, you cannot replace me, no matter what.
But the problem is, I say, you know, I'm insulted, but I'm also glad you're back. So
yes.
How insulted could I really be if I too am happy that you're back?
It's good to be back because we all wear lots of hats, and we have an amazing woman here, Eva Manderson, who is going to talk about all the hats that she wears.
I was going to say, her head, between her head and the ceiling, there's no more room because there's
so
many hats that are sticking up to the ceiling right
just
now.
Just a few. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
All right, so we do have to plug in just a week and a half, the Seelig Award. This is the third time that the Oregon Film Museum, we honor a young filmmaker that we think has a bright future in being a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're going to do that at the Liberty Theater, November 14th, so just a few weeks away here, a week and a half away. And the doors open at 6. It's free, 7 o'clock, and you'll be done by 8. You're going to see some really nice films that some young filmmakers have made. You'll be impressed because they feel professional. They are professional.
They are professional, yep.
Exactly. And we're actually going to have this year's awardee on the radio show next week.
I love it.
Yeah, but you should put that on your schedules. So Friday night, November 14th, it's free. Not just that you'll be entertained, but come out and support a young filmmaker.
Well, and these are young filmmakers who do have stories to share because they their background as homeless youth provide their own story and narrative. And yet this program takes that and then helps them, as you said earlier, tell their story. But they might not tell it exactly. They tell it through different ways of different art forms. And this story is pretty powerful and very subtle. And these are also short films, too,
yes.
Just to tell people. Yeah. I mean, how long are they? 12 minutes?
The awardee this year, the primary film that he's made is 7 minutes or
7 minutes.
8 minutes, somewhere in that range.
So, yeah.
And this is we've been working with a group called Outside the Frame, very amazing organization. And one of the things that they do, besides teaching young filmmakers, these young filmmakers then, because they are professionals, they do different things. And they're going to stay overnight here in Astoria. And then on Saturday, they're going to do a film workshop. So we're looking for 20 young people, middle school or high school. Just email us, go to our website, astoriamuseums.org. And the first 20 that we get, you're going to spend a couple of hours in the Heritage Museum with these young filmmakers, and you're going to make some short films.
Yeah.
So give you a little taste.
They will get
of what they do.
They will leave with the film. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to, because this show is going to be jam-packed, so let's get to the history highlights. We're going to go through these really fast. November 3rd. These are things that happen tomorrow, November 3rd. But first, I have a quiz for you. So what year am I describing that happened on this date? The first ever U.S. auto show opens at New York's Madison Square Garden, where car makers showcase 160 vehicles.
Oh.
I was way off on my date.
Oh, okay. With that said, I'm going to say 1980.
Wow, okay. Any guesses?
1950.
Yeah, see, I would have been like 1930, 1940, 1900.
Oh, wow. Oh, the other way.
And they showcased 160 vehicles, but with early internal combustion engines noisy, noxious, and teeth rattling, consumers of the time still favored steam and battery powered vehicles.
Well, sure.
And we did a whole show, well, a partial show about horses.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So let's get I had to give that one first because the date just kind of surprised me. 1783, George Washington orders the Continental Army disbanded. We're done. We finished.
All done. We won.
We won. Well, as I always say, we didn't win. We just didn't lose.
We didn't lose.
Stalemate was a win for
right.
us. The British had to win,
yes.
And they did not. 1885, why can't we all get along? Tacoma vigilantes drive out the Chinese, burn their homes and businesses. Really? What's wrong with people?
Yeah.
1896, Martha Hughes Cannon of Utah is elected the first female state senator in the U.S.
In Utah?
In Utah. 1896,
nice.
though. 1896.
I know.
All right, but still, way to go, Utah.
At least it wasn't 1900s.
I know.
That's true. Or 1950 with the first car show.
Right.
Way to go, Martha Hughes Cannon. Good for you. 1903, Panama declared independence from Colombia with the support of the U.S. so that we could build a canal
course,
there.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. 1957, this is almost going to be my history highlight of the day because you know I love the space stuff. 1957, Soviet Union launches a dog into space. Poor Laika.
Did he not make it?
No.
Oh, I didn't know the end of that story.
No, most people, The Soviet Union doesn't really throw that one out there too much. The Soviet Union launches the first animal into orbit to orbit the Earth into space, a dog nicknamed Laika, aboard the Sputnik 2 spacecraft. Laika, part Siberian Husky, lived as a stray on the Moscow streets before being enlisted into the Soviet space program. Laika survived for a few hours as a passenger in the USSR's second artificial Earth satellite, kept alive by a sophisticated life support system. Electrodes attached to her body provided scientists on the ground with important information about the biological effects of space travel. She died from overheating and panic.
I was going to say the poor dog probably had a heart attack.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
And Laika's a pretty good looking dog too.
Okay.
Knowing her fate, it feels a little badly, but the first space traveler.
Yeah. There you go, Laika.
Way to go, Laika. All right. 1975, Good Morning America premieres on ABC.
GMA.
1975, U.S. advice columnist for Good Housekeeping magazine, Ann Landers, asks parents in a mail-in survey, if you had to do it over again, would you have children?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no.
Wow, depending on the day.
Depending on the day.
Exactly.
That's true. They should have specified.
Yes, or type of day.
So what are we guessing the percentage is going to be that said no, they would not?
I'd say the majority.
Wow, I would go the other way.
Well, I think if you're going to respond, I think you're going to get the
good point. Good point.
Stronger opinions.
Yes.
So 75% said no.
Yeah. Oh,
they
wow.
Would not have children again.
I agree with you, Eva. I think it's truly because those are the ones that are responding.
Yes.
Because I would do it again.
That's funny. 1998. Former wrestler Jesse the Body Ventura is elected governor of Minnesota. Oh,
I remember that.
With 37% of the vote. I forgot there were so many people running. All right.
I didn't realize it was so little.
So I know you don't like when it's not this old, but I will challenge you whether you think this is suddenly somehow not history, because it is. 2014, One World Trade Center officially opens in New York City on the site of the Twin Towers.
I believe it will be in another 10 years.
You know, I do have some listeners that love that you disagree with me, that it has to be 25 years to be history, and I don't think so.
11 years.
Yes. All right, but our history highlight of the day, thing I think had the most impact on history, 1931, the first commercially produced synthetic rubber is manufactured. Rubber.
Yeah.
I like rubber.
Yeah, we use it in everything.
It's in everything.
Everything. Okay, yeah. I don't disagree with you on that one.
So there's no good segue there.
I know, yeah.
Do you have tires on your car?
I have tires on my car.
There we go. To get her from all around. So we have Eva Manderson here. She is the Child Care Resource and Referral Director with Northwest Regional ESD.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
So what on earth does that mean?
I know.
What on earth does that mean? We keep working on our elevator speech at my team, but it means that the team of people that I work with support early childhood educators with training and coaching and professional development. It means that I get a really great job of advocating for childcare providers. And so I sometimes get opportunities like this to do really fun things and talk about the work and talk about how important it is that early childhood educators are out there taking care of our very youngest.
And this specifically is preschool and childcare.
Correct.
This was something that was hugely impacted, we know, during the pandemic. And it really came, it just kind of bubbled to the surface because childcare has always been very challenging.
Right? Always.
Throughout
always.
Centuries. Yet during the pandemic, everyone went home.
Mm-hmm.
And people were still supposed to keep their jobs. Children were still supposed to be learning. But all of a sudden, childcare centers, schools, daycares closed.
Yeah, we talk about how the pandemic really put the spotlight on childcare.
Yes.
That childcare was challenging long prior to that. Clatsop County had been losing childcare regularly prior to that. But during the pandemic, I think we really saw the value and what childcare providers bring to communities so that workers can work. They're the ones that make it so workers can work. So, and it's a space where kids learn, even if they're not learning academics and flashcards, they're learning how to get along with people, and social emotional learning is really the foundation.
Learning how to play, have fun.
How to play, how to wait, yes. How to, there's a study out there about delayed gratification called the marshmallow study and, you know, learning how to wait for the fun stuff, because sometimes we have to wait, and it's a skill that adults need to learn sometimes. And yeah. And if we don't learn it when we're young, it's harder to learn it when we're old.
I'm always struck like whenever this. I watch kids that standing in line and who's first in line is like such a huge sense.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be in line first.
Line leader.
Line leader.
But I have a list at my house of who's the line leader when.
Yes. Seriously, and sometimes it's fun to be the caboose.
Right.
So, you know, it's figuring out ways to incentivize all of the different spaces in line and how to make sure that we don't have to line up for too long, because even as adults, we struggle with that, right? The line is too long. I'd rather go through self-checkout. So,
oh my gosh, so true.
You did say Clatsop County, but how big is your territory? Is it the county, or is it bigger than that or smaller than that?
Yeah. So my childcare resource and referral agency is one of 15 across the state, and we cover Clatsop, Columbia, and Tillamook counties. I'm actually based in Tillamook County and got the honor of driving up here on my rubber tires today to visit with all of you. There nice. You go.
So even we first met each other when we started working together when Clatsop County was going to be awarded some funds for child care centers. So this was just barely out of the pandemic. I don't even
know. 2021. I think there were conversations happening in 2020, but 2021, this group kind of came together and was more solid. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about when the county offered some of their ARPA money, which was relief money from COVID, to the project.
And that got us started. So it got us started with a pretty influential program that is now run by Eva and her crew at Northwest Regional ESD. And this is a group that provides funding to local, in specifically in Clatsop County, child care centers and in-home providers.
Yeah, so this program is really unique to Clatsop County, and it is kind of tokened the Clatsop project or the Clatsop model, which is really an exciting thing that I think residents of Clatsop County can be really proud of, and the advisory group can be really proud of. It's a project that we're working on expanding. Just got a grant for capacity building into Columbia County just this last week, and so we're really excited about that. But this project brings together professional development for the provider with financial money that can then support families in scholarships, and also looks at expanding infant and toddler care, which we know is a huge, huge need in Clatsop County.
And so we just went through our fifth round of funding since it started, just under $800,000.
Just under $800,000 in the five rounds. Yeah, really, really great. We've
directly to those agencies. And so we're talking at childcare centers, in-home providers. These are small businesses and some larger ones as well. And all of them are licensed child care providers.
Yep, they are all licensed with the state. They are all actually listed with Department of Human Services to provide child care subsidy child care. So families that are low income who receive the ERDC benefit, all of these providers also accept that. So it's some accessibility for families. They are also in the Find Child Care Oregon database as open for referrals. So if a family is searching Find Child Care Oregon, these places are going to pop up if they've got any openings. An interesting fact that I haven't shared with the committee, I don't think recently, is that over 50% of the programs in Clatsop County have all been served by this grant. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, really
amazing.
That's
kind of what I was about to ask, and I sort of assumed the answer, but is a bigger issue the actual cost of it, or that there's just not enough slots for kids?
Oh, it's both. Yeah. It's both. So the cost is expensive because of the low ratios. And if we really wanted the true cost of childcare and our providers got paid what they should get paid for the important job that they do, parents wouldn't be able to afford it. So mm-hmm. what tends to happen is parents pay more than they can afford and providers make less than they should make. And that's kind of how we bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. But this grant comes in and supports providers to charge what it costs them to do business or closer to. And then the grant provides scholarships for families so that they can then afford mm-hmm. what it costs.
And what I love even more is that there is a business development piece of this that exists as well. So in getting a grant, you also have to agree to some business development. And it's pretty, I won't say extensive.
Business development in terms of training how to be a business person?
Yes, yeah. And how to improve your business. And it also creates a cohort among these providers so that those conversations can happen without the competition, mm-hmm. right? So without you having to go search online and see what everybody else is charging, mm-hmm. you bring them all into the same room and you realize that they're not competitors because there's enough spots. Mm-hmm. There's not enough spots.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What is everyone else doing? How are they doing it? We've had some situations where we've actually gone to an organization and said, can we share this scholarship form with others? Because it's perfect. And then you do, you know, you ask them that. And so there's that cohort and that conversation that's happening, because what's really important to the businesses that are donating, because this is all public and private funding, is that there's some sustainability, mm-hmm. right? So that in a year, let's say, or 5 years, if the grant no longer exists, will these childcare organizations close? And the goal is really, really specific that would not happen. So they're learning how to find other grants. They're learning how to connect with other organizations and creating and learning how to do budgets. I mean, some of these in-home providers are very, very small.
That's what I was going to ask. When you said in-home providers, I sort of assume that means it's probably right? one or two people tops, and they probably only have three or four.
Yeah, they kind of... They kind of stumble into it, I think.
They enjoy kids.
Or they have them.
They have them. They take care of their neighbor's kids. And pretty soon they want more than three kids. And then they become licensed. And it just kind of snowballs into all of a sudden I'm running a business. But I don't think most of them think of it as that. They think of it as I'm just watching kids. And so one of the jobs that my team has undertaken this year is trying to help providers think about themselves as small business owners, think about themselves as professionals, and they're not just taking care of kids, but they're really early childhood educators. Mm-hmm. And then the cohort that Alana is talking about, we call our Strengthening Business Cohort. We do it in partnership with the Small Business Development Center here in Clatsop County. And we've had providers come out of that say, you know, I knew how to take care of kids, but now I know how to take care of my business. And that's some pretty high kudos to our partner. SBDC does some advising with them. We help them to get licensed. It's just a really great foundation for them that a lot of times they're getting 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 years even into their business.
And the benefit of working with Eva's organization, so let's say I do recall this early on where some providers were not granted any funding. However, Eva and her team were able to say, but did you know there is a $20,000 grant or a $5,000 grant available for this or mm-hmm. this, and connect them immediately with that. They've already created their budget. They've already done an application and they are able to get the same amount of funding, but from a different organization. So that's been huge as well. So again, stretching those dollars and that impact has been very powerful.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things that I've really appreciated about this grant project is that it's kind of gone through its own continuous improvement planning. And so every year we adapt it a little bit and we change things to make it better. And in the last couple rounds, we have from the beginning, we've seen people who were granted the first time, they come back to get a second grant, they don't have to take the Strengthening Business Cohort again, but what are we offering them to better their business? And so we're seeing businesses who are then having their teaching teams attend other professional development opportunities together. And so that has been phenomenal. My team really loves having these providers come in. They get training, then they get coaching, and they get peer learning opportunities like Alana was talking about, both in the Strengthening Business cohort and the other trainings where they get to share with each other. What's your scholarship program look like? What's your parent handbook look like? What are the curriculum activities that you're doing for social and emotional or for standing in line? What are your strategies? And so these peer groups are sharing with each other and learning from each other.
So we talked a little bit about somebody that starts one in their home. It might just be because they had their kids and they're watching their neighbors and they're not a business person. That maybe some people are business people. What's your background?
Oh, that's a great question. My degree is in animal science, and there's all kinds of jokes about that, right? So I became a parent, and a parent who needed some extra skills around my kids. And at the same time, I was taking my kids to a childcare center in Tillamook. I became a disgruntled parent who had to pay for a bill when my kids were out sick, and I couldn't understand why. And I kind of got roped into being on their board. And then I understood why I needed to pay my bill, and I paid it. And then our directors left, and I became a volunteer director for a period of time. And my husband finally said to me, you know, I think you just need to go do this because you have things that you want for our kids, and they're the same things that other kids deserve. And so I started there as a volunteer director and then a director. I was there for 8 years. Moved over to the Early Learning Hub where I was the Preschool Promise manager as Preschool Promise rolled out. And I've been in my current role now for 7 years.
Wow. That's amazing. So what of this brought you to explore the world by foot?
Well, my mom did that to me. I mean, we always continue to learn from our parents, right?
Yeah.
So my mom likes to walk a lot. And when she was 65, she went and did the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And she came back and she said, on my 70th birthday, I want to do this with you. And at the time, I had little kids and I had a husband to talk into being gone for 6 weeks. And how is that going to work? And she did a really good job at prepping him for, you know, this is a special thing that I really want. And I think to a certain extent, I was a little begrudging when I went. I wasn't sure that I wanted to walk that far. I wasn't sure that I wanted to be gone that long. But it was a really fantastic experience. That was in 2019, fantastic enough that I decided I wanted to go back in 2020, and I wanted to go by myself. So just the experience of walking alone and traveling alone and meeting people and being able to be really open and authentic, and nobody from back home is going to hear what you said and hold you to it.
So you both use the word walk instead of hike.
Oh.
So is this an outdoor camping thing, or is it a walk and you're stopping at a hotel?
You just hit on a conversation that I have with my walking/hiking partner all the time. So we've got all kinds of criteria for where it's walking or where it's hiking, but it really is a hike.
For that long.
Yeah. I was there in June this last year, and I hiked 300 miles. Took me 19 days, and some of it is walking, I think, when you're in town, but there's definitely some big hikes where you're 3,500 feet elevation over a few miles.
And are you carrying your living gear with you?
Yeah. And you carry everything with you. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a hike.
Yeah.
At least in my book, backpacking. That's a hike.
Yeah. So my backpack was 17 pounds, and everything I had was in there, and I carried it for 19 days. You get home and you feel a little like, where'd my stuff go?
And so tell me more too, because it's not guided, but you know where you're going. And is this with a tour? It wasn't with your mom either?
I wasn't with my mom. Oh. It's not with a tour. There's a network of trails across Spain. And you follow the arrows. You don't even need a map. You can have a map, but I tend to get lost when I have the map. It's just much better to follow the arrows and follow the shells.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, it's a great experience. I highly recommend it to anybody.
So is it Spain or is it the hiking? I mean, would you do the Pacific Crest Trail? Would you find another city?
No.
Or is it the fact that it was Spain that you were exploring?
I think that it's because in Spain, you get a bed and a hot meal at the end of your day and a shower. I would not do the Pacific Crest Trail, but you walk all day and you walk with people and you have really interesting conversations across languages and across cultures. And you still get a bed at the end of the night and a hot shower and a good meal. And you walk through towns and have coffee stops. So, I mean, all the good things.
Now I'm back to maybe that is a walk.
Yeah. Well, and how do you plan that? Do you know exactly how far you have to make it in one day? Or is truly it's that, I mean, there's towns all along the way.
There's towns mostly all along the way. So, I mean, to that extent, you do have a map and you know where you want to get to.
Okay.
But you're not, you don't have it out for every turn. And you walk into a town and you find your next bed. And there are some times where it's crowded as you get closer to Santiago, which is kind of the end point. You might book your room ahead a day or two. And you're saying, I want to walk 12 miles tomorrow, or I feel really good, I'm going to walk 18 miles tomorrow, and you know where that endpoint is, and you've either booked or you're walking in and you're finding lodging when you walk in.
So another thing I loved hearing when you did share some of your stories was the liberation of walking alone. This is an adventure as a woman that you're doing, and you would do it here too. You also go hiking in the Pacific Northwest. What is so freeing about that?
You know, it's really empowering to think that you can travel alone and you can walk alone. And, you know, I think if I got too much in my head, I might be scared about that. But to be able to not be in my head about it and think about, I'm just going to walk this far. Oh my gosh, I had a day last year that I walked 23 miles, and how amazing is that? And I can say I did that. All of that just feels really, really good. And it is something that I can bring back when I'm here. And my team will tell you that they regularly hear me say, I can do hard things. Yeah. So I can do hard things.
So in 40 years, when you're 70 on your 70th birthday, are you going to want to take this walk with any of your kids?
Thank you for the compliment there. Yeah.
Will you walk with your kids?
I don't know that my kids will walk with me.
You had to think about going with your mom.
I know. And I keep telling my kids, you know, you're welcome anytime. I think that they might walk 5 or 10 days with me, but I don't think they would do the full walk. The one that I did with my mom was 500 miles. But yeah, I would love to.
That's amazing. What a great story. You have had a great journey. Thank you for sharing just a portion of it with us tonight. And your work with the Clatsop County, the Child Care Resource and Referral with Northwest Regional ESD is amazing. Thank you so much for that continued service.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go Make Some History. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.